Coming up this time, the life lessons from Brian Clough.
I've always had manners. It's a big thing for manners, you know. Yes, sir, no, sir, say please. We got on the bus at Wolves and a little old lady, 90, 95, staggered up to him, sign this. And he went, say please and I will. It's right though, you know, 95 or 9, say please. Manners.
The team trips to the Spanish sunshine.
We didn't train a lot, we didn't play a lot, but we drank a lot them days. But you could them days, it's all different now.
There's the incredible success in Europe.
You don't realise what a good side we were. But we were just lads having fun. We were, and we kept winning. Always remember Bomber saying, that's another country conquered. You know, wherever we went.
And Peter Taylor's classic quote during a European Cup final.
This is the big bit, the confidence booster I really need. He says, you're going on. And Peter Taylor says to Cluffy, he says, well, we're in this now. And I heard him say that. I was trying to get my tracksuit off at the time and I couldn't because I was panicking. Hello, this is Bryn Gunn and you're listening to the award-winning Green Jumper podcast with Marcus Alton.
Welcome to part two of my conversation with European Cup winner Bryn Gunn. And to start this section of the podcast, I asked him about some of the foreign trips that Cluffy took the players on.
Now, December 75, long time ago, you were part of the squad which went on a winter break to Qatar and you were playing the national team there. Do you remember much about that?
I can't remember anything about the game, to be honest. We stayed in a hotel in the middle of absolutely nowhere in the sand dunes. But it was all... There was nothing there them days, you know. But I can't remember the game. I remember going, but I can't remember anything else about it.
The sports editor at the Nottingham Post at the time couldn't believe that the team were being taken all that way for a short break. He said something like, yeah, go to Mallorca, but Qatar, it'll be torture just going all that way and then having to come back. Did the players see it that way?
The players just got told to do it. It was just a nice trip for us. Yeah.
I think the former Forest player, Frank Wignall, was involved in the national side and that's how it had come about. But I guess if it was a nice earner for the club, then it's something difficult not to turn down.
The club would make money, so you do it.
Yeah.
It was a joy trip for us. You know, we get fed, we get a few drinks maybe. Few hours on the plane, so that's what it was.
Those breaks away became more and more important, didn't they? Particularly Mallorca.
We were good at Mallorca, Callum Mallor. Yeah, I had at least 10 years going there, probably twice a year. And it was, I think they call it team bonding now. So, but it was Manchester Arms. The lads used to meet in there. You had to be fit to do it, to be honest. Yeah. We didn't train a lot, we didn't play a lot, but we drank a lot them days. But you could them days, it's all different now. Yeah. We enjoyed each other's company.
I suppose Cluffy, he said then and afterwards that relaxation was as important as all the training you could do.
Well, we were winning things as well, so it's proven right. If we were getting beat every week, I can't see us going to Callum Law three times a year or Australia for a few drinks and stuff. Yeah.
Now, a couple of months after that Qatar trip, you were recalled to the side. I think it was against Charlton, if I'm right. And there's a cutting here, which I'm going to try and find. Here we are. It says, Gunn called up by Clough. And there's a picture of you there. It's in the Nottingham Post. It says, 17-year-old Bryn Gunn steps back into the first team limelight and you were replacing the injured Liam O'Kane. And Clough is quoted in it as saying, Gunn has done well in recent reserve games and the time is right to bring him back into the picture. When he first got into the side, he looked a marvellous prospect, but like all youngsters, his form went flat. Was that a bit of a frustrating time for you?
Yeah, but you don't know why you go flat. Mm. You know what I mean? You know you're not as sharp as you were, but you don't really know why. You see it nowadays, you know. People play and then they go missing for a bit. and you've got to work your way back in.
It's hard to keep that consistency, isn't it? Even players these days.
I think when you're really young, you don't think about it. You just do it. Then you start thinking, oh, I've got to do this, do that. And it's, I really don't know why your form drops off, but it seems to happen to a lot of players.
You were brought back into the squad for some of the European Cup games as a substitute.
Yeah.
Notably in 1980 at home to Dynamo Berlin. And you were in the squad for the away leg as well. Do you remember much of those matches?
I watched it not long ago because John Robertson said I was up there for a man of the match. So I just thought I'd watch it. It was good of him to say that. I was one of them players. If Viv would get injured, I'd come in, do a job. Then Viv would be fit. It'd be straight back in. Frank Clark or who would get injured on the left, I would come in. You know, I've never classed myself as one of the big boys, as in Burnsy, Lloydy, Schultz, Viv. But I could always come in and do a job. Arguably, I was at the club too long. Maybe I should have gone somewhere else, but I was happy, you know. I was happy doing what I was doing.
I've got a picture here of the team at the Dynamo Berlin Stadium.
Yeah.
And it says underneath, the players grit their teeth and force a smile for the cameras in the biting wind. They duly warmed to the task of winning the game. And you're there on the back row, just behind Jimmy Gordon, the trainer, alongside Larry Lloyd, Trevor Francis, Ian Bowyer. When you look at a photo like that in the Dynamo Berlin Stadium, what sort of comes through your mind?
You don't realise what a good side we were. You know, that, yeah. I've said this before, we were just lads having fun. We were, and we kept winning. I always remember Bomber saying, that's another country conquered, you know, wherever we went.
Yeah.
But you just go out and do your job.
On that trip to Berlin, I think there was a guided tour that Cluffy and I think one or two players might have been on. I think that the story I've read, I don't know if it's true or not, but on this guided tour, one of the guides asked, is there anything else we can do at the end of the trip? And Brian Clough replied, yes, you can knock that blooming wall down for a start, the Berlin Wall.
He probably did. He was full of that sort of stuff. He would have done.
Yeah. Good memories there, though, of Berlin.
Checkpoint Charlie, is it?
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, we come to the 1980 European Cup final against Hamburg, and Forest are 1-0 up, thanks to John Robertson's goal. And in the second half, you get your chance.
Well, yeah, Frank Gray had been injured from arguably just before half time, so they weren't sure whether to take him off at half time and chuck me on or all this business. But he soldiered on, and then roughly 10 minutes to go, he couldn't carry on. So this is the big bit, the confidence booster I really need. He says, you're going on. And Peter Taylor says to Cluffy, he says, well, we're in this now. And I heard him say that. I was trying to get my tracksuit off at the time and I couldn't because I was panicking. And he heard him say that. So it wasn't a pat on the back that I got. But luckily, I come on, I got a couple of touches, and we end up hanging out 1-0.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we were the best side on the night, but when you got Shilton in goal and Burns in Lloydy, rock solid, and Burt was up front, you got a chance.
Yeah. Well, you did your bit. That's the thing.
I was there.
You're so modest.
As I say, the boys, you know, I come in and help out. So, but I was pleased Robbo got all the plaudits.
Yeah, he certainly did, didn't he? Mm. And I know you're still modest about it, but the club secretary, Ken Smales, at the time, wrote in December 1980, looking back, he said about you, he only got one touch of the ball in the final, but it was an important one, getting his head to a dangerous ball played into our area. So he thought you played an important part.
I was part of the back four at the time, yeah. I got a head to it, yeah. Burles went through late on and had a chance to score. I closed the boy down. I didn't get a kick, but I closed him down and he gave it away. So yeah. I got close to that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Looking back, you think, oh, what if I hadn't done that and I haven't done this? I fell over it or,
yeah.
You know, it could have been one each and that would have been the end of me. You know. But it was good. It was good. It was a good night as well. So
did you celebrate a lot?
Afterwards, we were based in the mountains. Mm. So Cluffy's give the usual, nobody's going out tonight. We're going to go back, think what you've achieved, and see you in the morning. So anyway, we all get back on the bus. We go back in to the hills. The big boys, Lloydie, Burnsy, Schultz, Viv, all down the fire escape, taxi into Madrid. And me and John O'Hare we stayed in the hotel and had a few drinks, raided the kitchen. I was rooming with John, Solly, we always call him Solly, John O'Hare. And I always remember, went to bed, I had the medal in my hand, and I woke up cuddling it and all like that. I just looked at it in the morning. I couldn't believe it.
Oh.
Couldn't believe it, mate.
Yeah.
But we had a few drinks. It was all right. It was a good night.
Brilliant. And have you still got the medal?
Yeah, I've still got it. My son's got it.
Excellent.
Son's in his safe, yeah.
Oh, it's precious. Precious.
Small.
Yeah, just a bit bigger than a 10p, but it's what it stands for. There's only one better medal, and that's a World Cup winner's medal.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a Super Cup loser's medal. Valencia, yep. Mario Kempes scored. I think I played in all that game. And I'm not being flippant, but I don't know where it is. Because it was second place.
Yeah. I mean, looking back, do you think that European squad was sort of dismantled too quickly?
I don't know, really. That's Mr. Clough obviously thought that some of the lads were coming to the end. I don't know. Some of the lads want to leave. So it's hard to keep everybody together.
But you were part of the rebuilding of the Forest side that Brian Clough did. And there's a programme, a match day programme from November 1981. It's against West Ham, and there's a team photo on the back, and you're there on the front row with new faces coming in. And you were an experienced pro then, I guess.
It's what I was saying earlier, though. Maybe I was at the club too long. You know, I'd come in, do 4, 5, 6 games and get left out or not good enough. But I kept doing that, you know. What did I play, 140 games or something? But it was spread over a lot of years. I'm not knocking it. I enjoyed every minute of it. In hindsight, you know.
We've got to mention that goal, October 1982, in a 2-0 win at Luton. Do you remember?
I've known people. I know people at Luton who tried to get it on a television for me because they haven't got it. Nobody has got a clip of it.
No video.
No tellys there. There was no television there. There was nothing. But that was, Robbo went down the left, just knocked it inside, and I hit it first time, and it flew in. And I actually went deaf. I don't know what was happening. My brother was there, who sadly passed away, but he was there. He used to go and watch me everywhere, and he used to have this loud clap, and that's the only thing I heard.
Aww.
And I knew exactly where he was. But that was Robbo. That was a great, well, one of the best feelings I've ever had.
I've got a cutting here, as you might expect,
and
it's from the Football Post, I think. Gunn blasts the Hatters is the headline. And it says Ian Wallace and Bryn Gunn, with his first goal for the club, brought Nottingham Forest a hard-earned victory here this afternoon. And then there's another cutting. Gunn goal is reward for work. And it says Bryn Gunn could hardly believe it when his speculative 25-yard shot curled into the top corner.
God, it didn't curl. It was an exit set. Flew in. Yeah. I don't mean it curled, but...
There was one report that said from the stand it looked... a spectacular effort, and Brian Clough was quoted in this report. It says it was some goal to get off the mark with. Mind you, he deserved it. He's worked hard at left back this season. Again,
he didn't say that to me. He'd have said well done.
Yeah,
but it's always young gun. That's what it used to be. Well done, young gun. You get the thumbs up. That's enough. You know,
that
makes you go 6 foot tall. You know, that's all it was. Some people need wrapping up in cotton wool, some needs a rollicking, but that's why he was so good. He knew what to do.
As long as it was a thumbs up, young gun.
Well done, young man. That's it. That's all you need, mate.
Yeah.
That's all I needed anyway.
Exactly. I think John Robertson was a bit the same as well. He said as long as he saw that sort of OK sign.
Yeah. You didn't get a lot of praise. You know, you're coming off thinking at half time, which where's he going to go at me here? You didn't get many praises. Mm. But that's the way he was, you know. I wouldn't change it for the world, you know.
Obviously, this was all part of Clough's rebuilding, as I mentioned, and that one headline said, with this victory, watch it, there's life in Clough yet. And Forrest, I think, moved to 7th in Division 1 with that win. finished fifth at the end of the season, just one win short of being runners-up. And then they were third the following season. But you weren't getting regular first-team appearances, as we've said. And Gary Mills mentioned once that you two were outside Cluffy's office about to go in separately to sort out contracts, and you were adamant that you weren't going to sign.
Yeah.
Could you remember?
You've got so many things in your head when you're going in his office. You know, it's like you could be on 100 quid a week and you want an extra 50 quid. So you go in there, you'll talk for 20 minutes, tell him what you want, and you come out, you've signed a 3-year contract, and you're on 140 quid, you're 10 or less. But that's what you do, you know.
Yeah.
I was adamant. I told him I never want. I had a bad feeling at playing right back. I struggled at right back. I always wanted to play left back or in the middle with Burns and Lloyd. I said, I don't want to play right back ever again. And he agreed. You see, I got took off at somewhere after 26 minutes, I think, at home. It's hard to describe, but I didn't want to turn over my right shoulder. I was far better going the other way.
Yeah,
I got to a spell I didn't want to play there. I didn't want to play, and that's, you know, that was wrong. But then he gave me another contract, and I said, I signed it. Yes, boss. You know.
He must have thought a lot of you to keep you on.
Yeah, keep me there. I was there before. I must have been there 10, 11 years. I was there apprentice for a year, so I think I was there at least 10 years when he was there. I could do a job. That was good for him, you know. I was never the best, but I could do him a job, so.
Well, I've got a quote here, and I wonder if you can guess who it's from. And it says, "In my opinion, people underestimate the role Gunny played at Forest. He was a true club man for years and was never fully appreciated." Do you think that's Frank Clark, Gary Mills or Liam O'Kane?
Maybe Liam. Maybe Liam. No. Millsy?
Millsy, yes.
Millsy's my mate.
Yeah.
So I still see Liam now and then. That's why I said that. That's good of him. That's good of him.
Yeah.
Millsy is my mate, though. He lives four mile away from me, so.
Yeah. Well, Cluffy originally said, "You're an absolute natural," all those years ago. How important would you say his influence was?
Oh, he was everything. He taught me to grow up, I suppose, you know, grow up, taught me how to play. I've always had manners. He's a big thing for manners, you know. Yes, sir, no, sir, say please. You know, we got on the bus at Wolves and a little old lady, 90, 95, staggered up to him, "Sign this." And he went, "Say please and I will." It's right, though. You know, 95 or 9, say please. Manners.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But I always remember that. I remember that.
A lot of the former players say, you know, the basics like that, off the pitch as well as on the pitch.
Yeah. Everything. He didn't overcomplicate it. Mm. Like I said to you earlier, get the ball, give it someone who can play. That was his favourite, you know.
Yeah.
That was it. That's what we did well.
Well, Bryn Gunn, it's been a huge pleasure hearing your memories and... thanks for being a fabulous guest.
Thanks very much for having me. Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. If you're enjoying The Green Jumper, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It all helps to keep those special pieces of Cluffy nostalgia. And don't forget to visit the Tribute website, brianclough.com, where there are more Cluffy stories, as well as the Clough shop, where you can buy souvenirs and my books supporting good causes. They also help the running costs of the podcast. And I can sign the books personally for you as well, so they make great gifts. Now, Green Jumper listeners can use the code GREEN15 for 15% off Brian Clough The Lost Tapes. That's GREEN15 at checkout. Thanks again, and I hope you can join me next time for more memories of the great man in the Green Jumper.